The United States finds itself as the greatest economic and military power on the globe, and as the world's only superpower. Success isn't without difficulty, and the U.S. faces multiple challenges from abroad and domestically. Will a united Europe be friend or potential adversary? What is the future of the U.S. involvement in the Middle East? How important are the current domestic debates over issues like homosexuality? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The United States finds itself in a unique place in history. As a lone superpower, its military can enforce foreign policy anywhere around the globe. The average U.S. citizen enjoys a standard of living most people in developing countries can only imagine. The fingerprints of American culture, from soft drinks to television programs, can be seen even in the most remote regions. This unprecedented global influence presents some daunting challenges to a nation that is both the world's economic engine and reluctant police force. Many believe that the fall of the Berlin Wall and the end of the Cold War would bring a new era of global peace and prosperity under Pax Americana. But even at the dizzying heights of global power, some destabilizing trends confront the United States. One of the challenges facing the U.S. is a rising superpower in Central Europe. Good News Radio correspondent David Palmer reports.
Georgetown University professor and former member of President Clinton's National Security Council, Charles Kupchan, shocked many pundits, Gary, with his book, The End of the American Era. In the book, he claims the greatest threat to future U.S. global influence isn't from Islamic terrorism, but from a united and powerful Europe. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld tried to marginalize France and Germany by labeling them old Europe and playing down the economic and political unity quietly coalescing in Central Europe. While member nations of the European Union maintain independent sovereignty, they have also created a common parliament, established many shared policies, and of course adopted their own currency, the euro. Europe's old rivalries are becoming nations without borders. In his book, Kupchan writes, quote, the European project has been an unqualified success. Not only has war among Europe's nations become unimaginable, but the borders among them are undefended and already being crossed without passport or customs control. Driving from France to Germany, he writes, is not unlike driving from Virginia to Maryland. Public opinion surveys in Europe reveal a very clear preference for integration. Almost half of those polled strongly identify themselves as European rather than citizens of a national state. And more than 70% support a common defense and security policy for the European Union.
You know, David, I think many Americans don't fully appreciate the economic power that a united Europe can mobilize.
The combined population and economic output of the European Union, Gary, is greater than the United States, and almost 75% of European trade is among its member states. What that means is that the Union can sustain a measure of self-sufficiency that has been the sole privilege of the U.S. The uproar over U.S. steel tariffs in the closing months of 2003 is just the opening salvo in what some European news sources are calling a trade war. The next few years promises a further flexing of European economic muscle in direct competition with American interests.
Thanks, David. In 2004, the European Union plans to expand from the current 15 to 25 nations. EU members are hammering out a European constitution in order to transform economic clout into political and even military power. If the current draft is accepted by the EU member states, it would effectively double the size of the European Parliament and give the European Court widespread judicial powers. Mark Webb reports from the Good News European Bureau.
The idea of a united Europe stretches back thousands of years. The early enthusiasts were seldom as high-minded as their modern successors. Romano Prodi, the president of the European Commission, was keen to impress upon George Bush the grandeur of a European Union at a lunch at the White House recently. Mr. Prodi pointed out that the EU has about 450 million citizens, and its territory would shortly stretch from the Atlantic to the borders of Russia. As has already been said, the EU plans to expand to 25 nations, but is still working according to the rules which were designated for the original group of six members. These have been modified over the years, but the Union still needs streamlining to ensure they continue to work effectively. The Constitution will replace the earlier EU treaties with a single document saying what the EU can and cannot do. However, the drafting of the new constitution is proving to be more difficult than expected. Leaders had hoped that the agreement would be reached at the Brussels summit, which ended on the 13th of December 2003. But the issue of voting rights for the individual countries is one sticking point amongst many others. It should also be pointed out that most European countries already have their own written constitution. The UK does not. That makes the subject quite heated as far as the British voters go.
Mark, what is the prevailing mood in the UK concerning European unity?
There is a very mixed feelings over here on the subject of European unity. The main thought is focused on whether the UK should be part of it at all. I could illustrate this by saying people were asked for their comments concerning the question, will a constitution ever be possible considering the different economical and political motivations for each member state? One person said, I hope not, then we can return to being our normal separate countries. Another said the UK should refuse to agree any constitution without referendum on its population. There were obviously friendlier people to this. But there's also a traditional mistrust of other countries involved, such as France and Germany, as far as the UK is concerned. But no one seems to know what the true opinion of the British people is, because, as one person says, we haven't been asked.
How do you see the European Union challenging the United States more in the coming year or two?
In the long term, Europe will challenge the United States more and more. We have seen recently Europe putting pressure on George Bush regarding steel subsidies, and there is no doubt more of these happenings will happen as time goes on. The United States is safe while most of European countries continue to disagree with one another. But when Europe gets up ahead of steam, it will definitely go from strength to strength. The thing we're not sure of is the time scale.
That was Mark Webb, our Good News Radio European correspondent. The United States will soon find itself once again in a two-superpower world, with the European Union no longer in need of NATO protection, but an economic giant willing to challenge American global influence. We'll be back to discuss some other major issues confronting the United States in the near future, right after this.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the Middle East, be sure to request your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232. Who will write the next chapter in the history of this troubled region? Believe it or not, the final chapters are already written, prophesied centuries ago in the pages of the Bible. Ominously, they mesh remarkably well with today's headlines. In our free booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation, so call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. The November 2003 bombings in Istanbul, Turkey, served as a warning to any Muslim nation cooperating with the West that Islamic extremist groups are alive and well and willing to kill fellow Muslims to obtain their goals. Time magazine reported in November 2003, rather than being defeated by the U.S.-led war on terrorism, Islamic terrorists seem to be methodically widening their holy war against the U.S. and its allies. Turkey made an obvious target. Even under the current Islamic Party government, democratic Turkey has remained staunchly secular and pro-Western. It was the first Muslim nation to recognize Israel and cultivates extensive ties with the Jewish state. Long a faithful U.S. ally and member of NATO, Turkey aspires to join the European Union, unquote. Back in February 2003, a tape from Osama bin Laden directly earmarked Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Jordan, Yemen, and Pakistan as countries in need of being liberated from what he called American enslavement. Tens of thousands of trainees who graduated from al-Qaeda's Afghanistan-based camps are now scattered throughout the Muslim world, encouraging local terrorist groups and forming new ones. A new tactic of Islamic terrorists is a willingness to kill fellow Muslims, and this threatens to destabilize Arab governments and aggravate strife between Muslim sects. Meanwhile, the U.S. finds itself in a conundrum of committing more troops and resources to stabilize Afghanistan and Iraq, or to pull out and doom both countries to bloody civil war and ruin. The price of brokering Middle East peace is also a burden on the U.S. economy, and daily reports of servicemen and women killed by a car bomb or ambush may erode the resolve of the average citizen in supporting military involvement. Rebuilding a nation after a military defeat is difficult, to say the least. The difficulty is compounded by an all-too-common Muslim worldview that sees the United States in emotionally charged, contradictory terms. You know, on one hand, many aspects of American culture and goods, as well as oil money, are readily accepted by Arab countries. While at the same time, the United States is distrusted as the prime supporter of Israel. It's common for Islamic clerics to paint the U.S. as the, quote, great Satan, and evoke fears of an American-led Christian crusade. The existence of Israel is at the very heart of the Arab and Muslim conflict with the United States. Solutions are impossible in a sea of propaganda and rewriting of history by Arab extremists who want to minimize a complicated situation by emphasizing the Palestinians as victims of Jewish aggression and discounting the legitimacy of the State of Israel. At Camp David, Yasser Arafat even denied that the Western Wall in Jerusalem was ever part of the ancient biblical temple. Many Arabs who have felt abused by the Western powers for generations believe the propaganda. Prejudice and paranoia run so deep that some Muslims believe that the destruction of the World Trade Center was the work of a Jewish conspiracy to turn Americans against the Arab world. In this environment, it is unclear whether President Bush's roadmap to peace will bring a new era of U.S.-Arab relationships or simply point to another dark alley leading to a dead end. You know, at times, Israel has had to face legitimate criticism for uneven handling of Palestinians, but it is amazing how little global outcry there has been over the 3 years of the current intifada as scores of Palestinian terrorists attack, kill, and injure hundreds of Israelis. David Palmer reports on the anti-Israeli criticism in the foreign press.
Mortimer B. Zuckerman, who served as the Middle East envoy for President Clinton, writes in U.S. News & World Report of a growing movement in Europe to delegitimize the State of Israel. In England, The Guardian wrote that Israel has no right to exist. The Observer described Israeli settlements on the West Bank as an affront to civilization. The New Statesman ran a story entitled, A Kosher Conspiracy, illustrated by a cover showing the gold star of David piercing the Union Jack. The story implies that a Zionist Jewish political faction is attempting to sway the British press to support the cause of Israel. In France, the Nouvel Observateur published an extraordinary libel suit alleging that Israeli soldiers raped Palestinian women so that their relatives would kill them to preserve family honor. In Italy, the Vatican's L'Osservatore Romano spoke of Israel's aggression of extermination, while the daily La Stampa ran a cartoon showing a tank emblazoned with a Jewish star pointing its big gun at the infant Jesus, who cries out, "Surely they don't want to kill me again."
Thanks, David. There's been a rise in anti-Jewish incidents in both Western Europe and areas that were formerly part of the Soviet bloc. In the coming year, the United States will find itself under increasing criticism for its continued support of Israel. Yet, the greatest challenges facing the United States in the near future may not come from outside sources, but from internal cultural wars that threaten to undermine the foundation of society. This last year witnessed a renewed energy in the cultural battle over the gay agenda. A decade ago, the gay rights battlegrounds were the military and increased exposure in television and movies. Now it's extended to society's acceptance of the equality of gay marriages with traditional heterosexual marriage and family. Some of the nation's political leaders are busy trying to garner support for a new law that would define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. At the same time, other lawmakers are lobbying for expansion of gay rights, including the legalization of homosexual marriages. Even President Bush got into the act when he publicly declared his belief that marriage is between a man and a woman and equated homosexuality with sin. In a related Associated Press story, U.S. Congressman Barney Franks said that there is a strong support for adopting the rights of gays, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as part of the U.N. Doctrine for Human Rights, which sets the standards worldwide. Gay rights activists have scored some impressive victories in the past couple of years, both culturally and politically. The Supreme Court striking down of a Texas anti-sodomy law as unconstitutional, Walmart's public statements about protecting the rights of gay employees, and public homosexual parties in Disney World, just to name a few. But you know, these victories have come at a price. A USA CNN Gallup poll shows some backlash against the gay agenda in the general public. While 48% of Americans polled said they supported the legalization of same-sex relations between consenting adults, 46% said that same-sex unions should be illegal. This is the highest number of people taking an adverse stand against homosexuality since 1996. The battle over homosexuality is just one front in the internal culture war tearing at the fabric of American society. The same battles are being waged over radical feminism, abortion, and a nation battling with its historical Judeo-Christian concepts of morality. The future of any society depends upon the strength of its families. Homosexuality and radical feminism strike at the very foundation of marriage and family. Astronomical divorce rates, homosexual marriage, and the redefining of the traditional family are issues that will intensify in the coming year, threatening the country's foundation. We'll be back to discuss some more of the challenges facing the United States and talk about some good news right after this.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. In our free booklet, The Middle East and Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation. So call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Welcome to the final segment of this week's Good News Radio. Once again, for your free copy of the Middle East and Prophecy, call 1-800-966-9232. We've been talking about the challenges facing the United States as the world's only superpower. It has become clear that the worldwide AIDS epidemic can't be ignored. Good News Radio correspondent Mary Snyder reports.
When President Bush announced his $15 billion package to assist in combating the AIDS epidemic in Africa, he acknowledged a catastrophe affecting an entire continent. The latest UN figures on HIV show that despite medical and educational efforts, the disease continues to expand. MSNBC reports that new global estimates based on improved data show about 40 million people worldwide are living with HIV, including an estimated 2.5 million children under the age of 15. About 5 million people were infected in 2003, and more than 3 million died.
You know, Mary, did the UN report mention which parts of the world are affected the most?
Yes, it did, Gary. The disease's tentacles reach into every region of the world. An estimated 600 people die every day in South Africa from HIV. 40% of adults in Botswana and Swaziland are infected. MSNBC reports that because of intravenous drug use and unsafe sex, HIV is spreading in densely populated India and China, as well as Indonesia. Papua New Guinea, Vietnam, and Eastern Europe, where the most heavily affected areas include the Russian Federation, Ukraine, Estonia, and Latvia.
Thanks, Mary. HIV and AIDS is sapping the future from countries that are already underdeveloped and poverty-stricken. The resulting human suffering and collapse of normal society is a breeding ground for anarchy. Of course, the spread of AIDS in the U.S. is a continuing health hazard that threatens the lives of millions. The world is faced with a lot of bad news. Sadly, the ingenuity and genius of the United States can't solve all the world's problems. So is there any good news? Strange as it may seem, a Jewish rabbi who claimed to be the Son of God foretold these trends almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus took his disciples to the Mount of Olives just outside of Jerusalem and answered their questions concerning his second coming. Matthew 24 records Jesus' prophecy of wars, diseases, and natural disasters leading to a time when humanity will be on the brink of self-destruction. The bad news is that for all of the American ingenuity, military power, and economic might we might have, we can't solve the problems of human nature. The conflicting religious issues between Islam, Judaism, and Christianity will always spur violent men and women to hatred and brutality. Nations will always be playing a power game to gain economic advantage. Human beings will continue to pursue self-gratification and defend their rights to lifestyles without moral restraints. The good news is that Jesus is the Christ, and he will fulfill his promise of Matthew 24 to return in power and glory to save humanity from self-annihilation. So what should Christians do now while waiting for that event? Should we simply accept the evil in the world as inevitable and hide away until Christ's return? As part of the Olivet prophecy, Jesus told his disciples, now if you don't have a Bible in front of you, go get one and follow along. He said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Christianity is idealistic in its hope for the return of Jesus Christ to save humanity and establish God's kingdom on this earth. But it is also practical in its application to everyday living. Christians must strive to exhibit the teachings of Jesus in their lives in a dark and troubled world. They must reach out to fellow Christians, Muslims, and Jews with the message of the only solution to the insurmountable problems threatening to fragment humanity into the reoccurring cycle of war and suffering. And that solution is Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Events in the Middle East are going to have profound effects on the entire world over the next few years. Some of the events are prophesied in the Bible. This is too important to ignore, so call right now for your free booklet, The Middle East and Bible Prophecy. The toll-free number is 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. This may be the most important material you've read in a long time. If you'd like to email us here on Good News Radio, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
You need to understand what is prophesied to yet happen in the Middle East. Whether you realize it or not, or understand it or not, events there are destined to affect the lives of every person on earth. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the Middle East, be sure to request your free copy of The Middle East in Bible Prophecy. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232. Who will write the next chapter in the history of this troubled region? Believe it or not, the final chapters are already written, prophesied centuries ago in the pages of the Bible. Ominously, they mesh remarkably well with today's headlines. In our free booklet, The Middle East in Bible Prophecy, we provide you with an overview of the past and the headlines of tomorrow. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? There is no cost or obligation. So call 1-800-966-9232 or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.